From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton with this local and statewide news update. Juneau's municipal election has been certified. The Canvas Review Board certified the election on Tuesday. 9,607 votes were cast in the October 2nd election. Former Assembly Member Beth Weldon won the mayor's race with a total of 4,553 votes. In District 2, Michelle Bonnet Hale won a three-year seat and Wade Bryson won a one-year seat. Carol Treem won a one-year area-wide seat in the election, and incumbent Lauren Jones ran unopposed for his District 1 seat. Total voter turnout was 35.5%. That's the highest voter turnout since 2010. The new mayor and three new assembly members will be sworn in at City Hall on October 15th. A new poll suggests that Alaska Congressman Don Young may be in a tight race. Alaska survey research shows Elise Galvin is within 4 percentage points of Alaska's lone U.S. House member.
Certainly, Elise Galvin has put herself in position where it's possible that she may win.
Pollster Ivan Moore, though, points out that Young has been winning elections for 45 years.
For someone who's been reelected so many times, Don Young does fairly routinely get himself in fairly close races, or at least they appear close for a while.
Moore's survey, conducted in the first week of October, shows not quite 50% of respondents said they'd vote for Young. 46% of respondents said they'd vote for Galvin, even though nearly that many said they didn't know who she was. Moore says respondents who don't like Young may have been giving her the benefit of the doubt. A word of caution here, in 2008, a slew of polls, including Moore's, showed Ethan Berkowitz was going to beat Young. He didn't. Moore has a theory about that.
Maybe in polls, people flirt with the idea of dumping Don, but then when it comes to election day, they consider the upsides, his seniority, and so on.
The sample was 500 likely voters reached by cell and landline. Moore conducted it as part of a series funded by a group of clients that he says do not include candidates or political parties. A similar survey he conducted in late September showed Galvin behind by 11 points. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council, or NPFMC, took a step during its meeting on Monday toward regulating unguided boats that anglers pay to use for fishing halibut. The council may require those boats to be registered and may also impose more restrictive charter bag limits on the customers that utilize them. KBBI's Aaron Bolton explains.
In recent years, the NPFMC has heard testimony about a perceived increase of unguided rental boats in the Gulf of Alaska and in Southeast Alaska. Many have argued that fishing lodges and charters have been using those boats to skirt more restrictive charter bag limits. Andy Mesro represents the charter sector on the council.
We have seen the guided sector to be very resourceful in creating business entities that are not guided in order to avoid restrictions built into the halibut catch sharing plan.
The NPFMC estimates that there are roughly 250 rental boats available in International Pacific Halibut Commission regulatory areas 2C, which embodies Southeast, and Area 3A, which covers the Central Gulf. Without a specific registration requirement for these boats, it's hard to know just how many there are, but catch data suggests there is a problem in Southeast.
The non-charter harvest has been declining, and then moved up to equal to the charter harvest in 2011 to almost doubling by 2016. This growth, combined with written and public testimony about the influx of fleets of new for-hire vessels coming into communities, has given the council enough evidence of correlation that a problem exists.
The sports sector's harvest is subtracted from the total allowable catch before it's divvied between the charter and commercial sectors. Mesro says an increase in sport harvest could reduce the available catch for those fisheries. Halibut stocks are on the decline, and Mesro also raised conservation concerns in relation to the issue. The council asked its staff to analyze two tools that may help it better understand the potentially growing fleet of for-hire boats.
Defining all of these entities as one for-hire sector, creating a registration and aligning the bag limits with the guided sector, is a necessary action to understand and then manage this fleet.
The proposed regulations could require businesses that receive any kind of compensation for boats used for recreational halibut fishing to be registered in regulatory areas 2C and 3A. Another alternative could impose charter bag limits on anglers paying to use those vessels. Councilmember and Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner Sam Cotton expressed concern about the measures potentially reducing Alaskans' access to the halibut resource, particularly those who can't afford a boat.
You know, you hear from the residents more often, and we know we can't distinguish between residents of Alaska and residents of another state in an action like this, but sometimes these regulations, any of the regulations we impose, have differential impacts on residents and non-residents.
Councilmember John Jensen, who owns a boat rental business in Petersburg, echoed Cotton. However, he says he supports the measure for now.
But hearing that there's conservation needs in the background here, I'm going to be supporting this for now and see where it goes.
The council also wants its staff to look into tracking how many halibut sport fishermen on for hire unguided boats reel in each year. However, it's unclear when the council will receive a final report and when it may take final action on the issue. Reporting in Homer, I'm Aaron Bolton.
Three new school board members will be sworn in at tonight's Board of Education meeting in Juneau. Elizabeth Seaton, Paul Kelly, and Kevin Allen ran unopposed for the three open seats on the board in last week's municipal election. They will replace board members Josh Keaton, Emil Mackey, and Andy Story. Story is running for State House District 34 in the November general election. The new board members will jump right in by electing officers and hearing a presentation on the district budget. The district budgeted for 4,625 students, not including preschool. A final count will be made at the end of October. District-wide enrollment determines how much money the state gives the district each school year. Enrollment has declined for the most part in recent years, though last year saw a small boost in intensive needs students. That helped cover funding gaps left by lower than projected enrollment numbers. The board will also discuss forming a superintendent search committee. In August, it appointed Director of Student Services Bridget Weiss to serve as the interim superintendent through next June. The board selected her shortly after Superintendent Mark Miller announced his resignation. The goal is to hire a permanent replacement by next July. That could end up being Weiss or another candidate, depending on what the search committee decides. The Republican Governors Association has paid more than $2.5 million to a group backing Mike Dunleavy's campaign for governor. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman dug through the campaign finance reports.
The Republican Governors Association's contributions were the largest related to the campaign for governor made in the last 8 weeks. That's according to filings with the Alaska Public Offices Commission that were due on Friday. The RGA money has been paying for TV advertising through an Alaska group, Families for Alaska's Future Dunleavy. More than 99% of the group's money has come from the RGA. Both the RGA and Families for Alaska's Future were fined last week for failing to register with the commission before the RGA started buying ads. Families for Alaska's Future and another group backing Dunleavy, Dunleavy for Alaska, have raised more than $3.5 million combined. Those totals are much more than the amounts raised by the group supporting the other candidates. Unite Alaska for Walker Malott has raised just under $1 million, and Begich for Alaska has raised $72,000. These groups are separate from the campaigns for the candidates. Of the candidates, Independent Governor Bill Walker and Lieutenant Governor Byron Malott have raised the most. The Republican Dunleavy and his running mate Kevin Meyer are second, and Democrat Mark Begich and running mate Deborah Call are third. The other major focus of campaign donations is ballot measure one, the fish habitat protection measure. A group opposing the measure, Stand for Alaska, Vote No on One, has raised $11.5 million. Yes for Salmon, Yes on One, has raised much less, $1.3 million.